continued to take Andro 400, and I've maintained my weight at 172. Gained muscle and energy. I'm 63 now and feel better than I have in 30 years.
Andro 400, the natural way to increase testosterone, lose belly fat, gain energy, and feel great. Try Andro 400, the safe, effective, affordable way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435.
Today, just outside the White House before leaving for the G7 summit, President Trump was asked once again about pardoning himself and if he would be doing so.
No, I'm not above the law. I never want anybody to be above the law. But the pardons are a very positive thing for a president. I think you see the way I'm using them. And yes, I do have an absolute right to pardon myself, but I'll never have to do it because I didn't do anything wrong. And everybody knows it. There's been no collusion. There's been no obstruction. It's all a made-up fantasy. It's a witch hunt. No collusion, no obstruction, no nothing. Now, the Democrats have had massive collusion, massive obstruction, and they should be investigated. We'll see what's happened.
If you're interested in buying a home, well, that home may not stay on the market very long. Now, according to a new report out, the number of days a U.S. home is on the market is 64 days. Now, that's the lowest it's been since 2010. Homes in Seattle, San Francisco, and San Jose are lasting only 30-some days on the market. This is USA Radio News.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Are drug and alcohol problems hitting you too close to home? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything. 866-490-3991. 866-490-3991. That's 866-490-3991.
After the G7 summit, President Trump will head to Singapore and prepare for the upcoming meetings next week with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. Congressman Lee Zeldin reminds us of one thing when President Trump is at the negotiating table.
And he also knows that it's in the best interest of the United States, North Korea, South Korea, Japan, China, the world, if this can be successful. And I think the president would love to get there, but he'll be willing to walk if North Korea tries rolling him the way Iran tried rolling Barack Obama.
A 61-year-old global trekking chef, writer, and TV personality commits suicide. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has more of the story.
Found dead in a hotel room in France where he was working on an episode of his popular CNN series Parts Unknown. Anthony Bourdain was a celebrity chef who joined CNN in 2013. Before fame, he was a struggling chef in New York City into his late 30s. In 2013, he did an interview in which he discussed the expected lifespan of a chef.
Cooking is hard. It's really hard. It breaks you down. Chef's lifespan used to be into the 30s, was 37 years old. It is now about 57. Why do we demand or insist or expect chefs to die behind the stove, broken-assed, flat-footed, varicose veined at 57? Why do we hold chefs to a higher standard than Keith Richards or Iggy or anyone else who's incredibly cool and changed the world?
For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
And for USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Okay. We're here with the sports guys. We're going to tell you a little bit about the weather. And, of course, last week, as you know, Bill, they completely, we were supposed to have rain on Saturday, and, of course, it was sunny, hot, and people really did enjoy the community day, which was nice. And I enjoyed the fact that they had free shredding. So what's happening this week? Well, I hate to predict. And I won't predict, I'll just tell you what they're predicting, because as we know, it's so often just not accurate. So what's, believe it or not, there was a slight chance of thunderstorms today. Well, it's been beautiful and sunny all day. I haven't seen a sprinkle out there. But sometimes when it's very hot, it does. We do have some storms in the afternoon. By tonight, there's a slight chance of thunderstorms and then a chance of showers, about a 30% chance. Low only 58 degrees tonight, so that, and of course, if it's if it rains, then it's going to be really humid. By, I'm sorry, did I say slight chance of thunderstorms today? Actually, no, I'm looking at Saturday. There's a slight chance of thunderstorms and then patchy fog Saturday. And then that's going to be early before 8 a.m. Otherwise, it's mostly cloudy, high near 80 degrees. And as I said, there is a small chance of precipitation, about 20%. By tomorrow night, 20%, and then 30% chance of showers. Could start out with some thunderstorms. By Sunday, there's a chance of showers and then a slight chance of thunderstorms. So, you know, it doesn't look like it's going to be bright and sunny, although that's what we're hearing now. But new rainfall is going to be very minimal, less than 1/10 of an inch on Sunday, except if there are thunderstorms, then it could be somewhat higher, as we know, because sometimes you can get half an inch just in minutes. So Sunday night, about a 30% chance of showers. Again, Monday, slight chance of showers, and then sunny. Actually, should be a beautiful day. Mostly clear on Monday night, and into Tuesday should be sunny and a high of 79. So if you have a chance of what day to take off, it looks like it should be Tuesday. So, talking about, where Bill is here, I said John, I don't know, I mixed up. This has not been a good day for me, guys. So
it's
anyway,
hard to tell us apart.
Yeah.
I'm not one that doesn't talk.
Bill is here. We're hoping that John will come in, and we're hoping that another guest will come in today. But in any event, right now, I know that you have a lot to talk about with the... well, first of all, just very briefly, I didn't know, who are you rooting for with basketball?
Well, Pat, I always root for the Sixers. And, you know, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, and that somewhere is right here, Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce Internet Radio. And 5 o'clock somewhere is also a Jimmy Buffett song. And I'm going to give you another line in a Jimmy Buffett song. Some people say there's a woman to blame, but I know it's my own damn fault. Well, the 76ers coach and GM, Brian Colangelo, was sending out all sorts of weird tweets and emails about the team and blaming his wife. And now he's resigned because he wants to protect her. He said he's moving on. Twitter and all that other stuff. An independent investigation by a very good law firm in Philadelphia said that it came to a conclusion that it was Colangelo's wife, Barbara Bottini, who was running the accounts, but the Sixers decided that he was still compromised by the situation and could not continue to be the GM of the Philadelphia 76ers basketball team. Well, Pat, I don't really understand what goes on in professional sports most of the time, particularly in management, but this story, well, it smells like 8-day-old fish. Meanwhile, speaking of fish, I was down the shore on Sunday. I didn't go Saturday because I had to work, and of course the sun's shining, and I had to meet clients. So I go down on Sunday because I've got to replace dock lines, and the wind is blowing out of the northeast at about 30 knots, which means about 33 miles an hour. And I'm trying to get that last dock line off so I can replace it with a good dock line. And as much as I struggled, I think if I had Popeye, Bluto, and a whole load of spinach, I would have not gotten that dock line off. So I'm going down tomorrow after I see a client, and I'm going back down again on Sunday because the boating season is here, and I'm anxious.
Well, but meanwhile, what about basketball? Are you going to watch the game tonight?
Well, I'm going to sure try to. I think the Cavaliers get closed out. What I can't figure out is why Golden State is so head and shoulders above those guys. I mean, the Cavs have LeBron James. He's had a couple games where he scored more than 51 points. J.R. Smith, as you know, pulled that rock in game two and started dribbling instead of shooting. And I think that Cleveland gets closed out tonight, but they've had a good season. And the real issue will be, where does LeBron James go next?
Oh, you think he'll leave?
That's the scuttlebutt. Now, you know that I don't follow basketball all that much.
Nor do I. But this is interesting. And Dave doesn't either. And our grandson Jake's with us. And so we have been watching, not all of it, but most of the games. Or most of, you know, not all of the last game I saw, only part of it. But I'm rooting for Golden State. And, of course, Dave and Jake are rooting for Cleveland. I think two things. One, of course, people don't like the fact that Durant went to Golden State. But I think Durant and Steph Curry, now, I'm not saying and taking anything away from the other players, but they're terrific. When Steph Curry was cold, you know, Durant was in there making all of these three-pointers. And, you know, they really, you know, they look good. And I'm not saying that LeBron James doesn't. You know, he can push his way right up to that basket. And, you know, he's terrific. In fact, I'd like to see a team where Durant, Curry, and James were all on the same team. Can you imagine? You know, they could have two pretty mediocre players and still be fantastic.
Well, you know, I am not a Cavaliers fan. I really don't follow basketball all that much. I admire LeBron James because of his skill and his smarts as a player. But he's moved around. He was with the Cleveland, and he went to Miami, then he went back to Cleveland. So you know that in this day and age, sports is more of a business than much else. And a lot of us are getting tired of rooting for the laundry rather than rooting for an individual player. You have kind of a funny situation. This may be LeBron James' last game in a Cleveland Cavaliers uniform, or it may not. We don't know, but the talk is he may be going to the Knicks, he may be going to the Sixers, he may be going to the Lakers, he may be going to the Timberwolves. I don't know what's going to happen. He certainly doesn't need the money, but I think he'd like to win another championship. Because financially, I'm sure he's sad, at least I certainly hope so. But on the other hand, for a lot of these guys, they get like Tom Brady. They think about their legacy.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it. Why do you think that Durant went to Golden State Warriors?
Of course, he wanted to win a championship.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, of course, a lot of people don't like that. But, you know, you can certainly understand when someone is that good that, you know, they want to go to a championship team. I mean, we, you know me. I always come back to football. But I think in one reason that Reggie White went to the Packers when he had offers all over the place, other than the fact that when they called him, they said it was God, or no, they said that God. I'm mixing it up. The call was, this is God, and I want you to go to the Packers. But, in fact, I'm sure that he was looking around and looking and seeing that even though his family probably didn't want him to go to this little town in, you know, northeastern Wisconsin, I'm sure that he took a look and said, hey, Favre could take us to a championship. They've got a good team. Lombardi was a coach to be with. And, so he went to Wisconsin. And, in fact, went to a Super Bowl.
Well, you know, that was a good choice for Reggie White because I think given the year, given the way the Eagles management was, given the way the team was composed, they might have made a playoff or two and won a playoff game or two, but they weren't going to go for the gold.
But you know that according to Reggie's wife, and I've heard this myself, she said that Reggie wanted to sign again with Philadelphia, and well, they didn't offer him a contract. And
big mistake by the Eagles.
Well, a huge mistake. But the thought was, because he was one of the leaders in the free agency, you know, what would you call it, a fight to get free agency, that the Philadelphia owner of Philadelphia Eagles did not offer him a contract.
And that's a huge mistake because he was clearly a leadership guy. But, you know, he fit into Green Bay so well, both in terms of personality and character and the nature of the community and the nature of the team. And he was really able to show leadership. And I think the fans in Green Bay appreciated him.
Oh, they absolutely did.
Whereas in Philadelphia, hey, we're the Boo Birds.
Oh, absolutely. So anyway, once again, I'm able to switch things to football, and I didn't mean to do that. So let's go back, and we both have to, we can talk about basketball and Stanley
hockey.
Cup. That's
yes.
What I was going to say.
Congratulations, as much as it pains me, to Alexander Ovechkin and the Washington Capitals. After many, many, many years of playoff futility, they finally got to the promised land of the Stanley Cup. And as much as I'm not an Alex Ovechkin fan, I really am a fan of their goaltender, Grant Holtby. Brent Holtby, he's a phenomenal goalie. He played real well this series. The Caps won last night 3-2. None of the games were really blowouts. With the exception of Game 4, where the Caps won 6-2, but the Knights just couldn't find it. I think the Knights ran out of gas. Now, remember, the Knights are an expansion team, and they're probably the most successful expansion team in the NHL's history because, if you remember, Washington coming into the league in 1974, I think they won 6 games the whole season. And a couple more years after that, They got into the playoffs and lost, and they had like 24 or 25 years of playoff futility. In 74-75, the year my Philadelphia Flyers won their last Stanley Cup, the Capitals were the worst first-year team in NHL history, going 8-67-5. And they developed into a reputation for a team that would flop in the postseason. And that only got worse when Alex Ovechkin joined them until last night when it all came around.
Well, how? But why do you think the Knights, as an expansion team, were able to be as successful as they were? I mean, really, when you think about it, that was pretty amazing that they got as far as they did.
That's true, but the NHL was on the spot. Remember that hockey is the kind of sport people stop watching when their team gets eliminated from the playoffs, first of all. I'm guilty of that more than I'd like to admit because I do love the game. The second thing is you're going into a new arena in what has to be the entertainment capital of the United States, Las Vegas. You have the NHL on the spot to deliver a quality product. And what they did was they only allowed 7 or 8 players to be protected in the draft.
Is that different than when they did in the before?
Yes. They reduced the number of players that could be protected. And Pittsburgh, believing Matt Murray, who had played very well for them down the stretch the two seasons ago, and played well for them this year. He filled in beautifully for Marc-Andre Fleury 2 years ago when Fleury was hurt, and the Pens really stuck it to the Flyers in the Stanley Cup playoffs 3 years ago with Matt Murray occasionally subbing for Fleury. So what happened was Pittsburgh did not get to protect both goalies. So Marc-Andre Fleury's won 2 Stanley Cups, maybe 3, check. And he was available. So what happened was he was one of the first guys the Knights picked.
Well,
the other thing that's really interesting here.
Let me ask you, were they not able to protect 2 goalies because they needed to protect other players?
No, they were limited to 1 goalie to be protected.
So every team was limited to 1 goalie.
1 goalie, 6 forwards, and 4 defensemen. So what happened, 5 forwards and 3 defensemen. So what happened was the Golden Knights got the pick to pick in a more advantaged position than any other expansion team. I think the NHL was wise to do that, because why is somebody going to pay all that money to be in to buy a franchise only to see your team go 8-67 for a bunch of years and lose money? And the NHL was really on the spot. You know, interest in pro sports is declining, with the exception of the NBA. And so when you get to Las Vegas, where you need to have a team that draws on its own rather than for people coming in from Las Vegas, say from Detroit, who want to see their Red Wings, or from Philly, who want to see their Flyers, or from L.A., who wants to see their Kings.
You're not saying that isn't a draw. I mean,
I think it is a draw. But you have to have what I call the force multiplier. You have to have a good team. And your first year out, everybody's going to go because of the novelty, even if the team is mediocre at best. But when a team goes to the big dance, and the Stanley Cup playoffs finals are the NHL's premier event. Actually, it's probably the premier event in ice hockey all over the world, because people in Russia and Sweden and the Czech Republic or wherever hockey is played are going to watch this game with tremendous interest, because there are so many international players and because it is the premier game. So my hat's off to the people in Vegas. They picked good guys. Now, to quote Jean-Pierre Bellemare, who was a forward for the Philadelphia Flyers, he said, you know, we all got here. We realized we were here because the other teams didn't think enough of us or think we were that good. And, you know, we talked among ourselves, and we wanted to show them. And they built a tremendous amount of team camaraderie. They all, to a man, all 24 guys live within the same community in a Las Vegas suburb. They built a tremendous amount of loyalty towards one another and a tremendous amount of overcoming adversity. But
well, that's interesting.
I have to tell you, I thought they were going to go all the way because of Washington's history in flopping in the finals or in the semifinals. And Ovechkin finally proved that he could do what everybody has expected him to do for the 10 years he's been in the NHL.
Well, what I started to say is the fact that they were able to pull that team together as a team in such a short period of time is really pretty amazing, because it seems to me that, you know, we have lots of teams that have had really individual good players, but unless there's that pulling together as a team in any team sport, it can be very, very difficult. And that was what I would have expected would be the most problematic when they bring in an expansion team and they have guys that most of them probably have never played on the same team. Maybe some of them. In this case, do you know, were any of the individuals recruited by the Knights, were any of them, had they played before together on another team?
I don't know the answer to that. I'd have to think that through. I know that Luke Sabisa, who was a defenseman for the Knights, who was originally drafted by Philly, was traded to get Chris Pronger, who, as we know, had a tragic accident. He was hit in the eye and almost lost his sight in that eye. Luke Sabisa, I think, has played with a couple of the other defenseman in both the, when he was playing in Switzerland and in Italy in the juniors, and also he was playing when he was playing for LA. He played for I think one of the other defensemen on the Knights. The name just not coming to me right now.
Okay, well, Bill, why don't we play? Talking about playing, let's play a few spots from our sponsors, and then we'll be back with.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Well, we're back, and no, we're not playing the news right now. Bill and I are holding the fort. Hopefully, John will be back. But I know that, don't we have a certain two teams that play in the same city playing against each other either this week or this weekend?
Starting tonight, the Subway Series in Citi Field. The Mets are hosting the Yankees, and I'm looking forward to this because, you know, teams are going in different directions. The Yankees' strength, of course, is hitting, and the Mets' strength, of course, is pitching, because the Yankee pitching, in my mind, once you get past Severino and Sabathia, is getting a little suspect, and I think the Yankees are going to have to look to make a deal. And the Mets, on the other hand, no matter what happens, they seem to be cursed. It's either injuries or bad plays or mistakes, one problem after another. But, you know, the matchups are interesting. Getting on base, the Yankees have a relentless offense. Even with Gary Sanchez slumping and Giancarlo Stanton off to a slow start, and D.D. Gregorius not really hitting well since a red-hot April, the Yankees still lead the American League in on-base percentage, in part due to Aaron Judge's ability to draw walks and the impact of Gleyber Torres, Miguel Andujar, Brandon Mimo, and Astrobal Cabrera, who have been the bright spots for the otherwise woeful Mets lineup. Hitting for power, you got Judge, Stanton, Sanchez, and even Andujar jumping in, but they've got more homers than anybody on the Mets. The Yanks have high hopes for both Torres and Andujar, and they both exceeded expectations as power hitters. And Cabrera hitting home runs is exciting, but it's alarming that he leads the Mets in that category when you have Jonas Cespedes, who can't seem to stay healthy. Jay Bruce has had a real drought, and Todd Frazier, who used to be a Yankee and is now playing third for the Mets, is having a little, just doesn't seem to be catching on.
Well, you know, Bill, one of the things John Macy, maybe, I think he's back from college, and hopefully he'll come on one of these Fridays because, you know, he knows so much about baseball, and we always enjoy hearing, you know, what he has to say both in baseball and, of course, football. And so we have an open invitation to John. And there may be a couple other people that we're going to try to get in this summer to, you know, help the sports guys and make it interesting. And, you know, they say sports, I don't know, they really mean it when they say that sports are not as popular. What is this whole thing that, you know, sports is somehow losing its appeal?
I think it has to do not so much with sports, but with professional sports. I think a lot of people are put off by the money, sometimes by the player's attitude, sometimes by the constant bombardment from the media and the prices. And quite frankly, it's fun to watch a ball game, but it's more fun to play it. It's fun to watch football, but I don't think I could physically play football now at 66. I'd rather play tennis or sail my boat or do something else. I think with the last 20 years or so, all of us becoming so much more health conscious, we're getting more exercise, and sitting down on a Sunday afternoon in the summer and watching the Yankees and the Mets for 3 hours is not something we're going to get away with unless it's thunder and lightning and a rainstorm of biblical proportions. Because most of us would rather get exercise or play a game than watch it. At least that's what I feel about it. Pat, what about you?
Well, I just have a hard time believing that, especially football. You know, there's 24/7 sports now, and how many channels and stations do we have that, you know, are constantly 24/7 sports? Well, I mean, I think it's much more today than it was. Of course, we used to listen to the radio when we listened to games, and you know, I don't remember the first time we had television, but we did. We used to listen to football on the radio, which was, in some ways, I think the radio made us much more, you know, visual, because we had to visualize everything when we were hearing it. So, but I don't get it when they say that sports is less popular today. It seems to me that it's more popular, although I've always been surprised since I moved east how many people, especially men, are not interested in football. But have not been. I haven't heard of anybody who said, I'm going to stop watching football.
Well, maybe they come from some other country and they're more into soccer.
No, just, I mean, there are a lot of men who just are not that enthusiastic about football.
Well, I can tell you that as a kid, I was so enthusiastic that I would, on Sundays, when a team I liked wasn't on, I would go into my room, put the game on the radio, and I had a checker. I would move up and down a little field that I drew so I could remember where the ball was, and I'd close my eyes and try to visualize the plays. And my younger sister, thought that was weird, that her brother would be sitting there in his bedroom with his eyes closed in the middle of a Sunday. But, you know, it's a funny thing. A lot of guys have gotten put off by the cost of going to a game, have gotten put off by the players, and or gotten put off by something. Now, I enjoy football, but I really don't want to watch the Titans playing the Cardinals. I have no interest in that game.
You're right. I'm obviously interested in watching the Packers play. I'm not as interested in college football, although, you know, I'll definitely watch if Wisconsin is televised. But I think that one of the things that does make me somewhat concerned about is those of us who've been, you know, diehard fans of a team. You know, with all of the people moving around now, I mean, usually you love certain people on the team, and in the old days, they'd be on that team forever. Now there's a lot of moving around.
Well, and, of course, that was the end of the reserve clause. Kurt Flood fought that battle back in the 60s. And, yeah, people move around now. I mean, you can't lock somebody up forever for your team unless you're going to give them a heck of a lot of money and a no-trade clause. But remember, a lot of owners are taking the position now that they'd rather have younger guys who, after 4 or 5 years, they're no longer tied to the team. They can go wherever they want. They pay them less money. They sign them to longer-term rookie contracts. And, you know, at 28 or 29, they're free to go get whatever they can as free agents. So, you know, it has the opposite side of the coin, too, particularly when you're dealing with a salary cap. And particularly when you know that the secret is not to sign those expensive free agents, unless that's that one missing piece, but to develop young players out of your farm system. The Yankees have done that very well. The Pittsburgh Penguins were brilliant at that. The New Jersey Devils did that. And now the New York Rangers are going to have to take a page out of the Devils and Penn's book and do the same thing. Pittsburgh has some great guys at Wilkes-Barre Scranton playing for their American Hockey League team. But you've got another issue here. You've got a team like the Yankees where you've got some excellent frontline pitching, and then we don't really know how those, you know, the third and fourth guy or fifth guy are going to be because there have been some injuries. They're getting a little older, maybe batters are getting used to them. But they have some great players in the farm system that they can trade for, say, a missing piece of the puzzle that might get them to the playoffs. The Yankees were within a game of going to the World Series last year, but lost to Houston at Houston. And I was disappointed because it was the first time the Yankees had returned to the series to the finals. In a long time in the American League. And remember, the Yankees had trouble with Minnesota early on with the in the wild card game. You know, it's lose and go home. It's one game.
Yeah, that's
one
true.
Game. Yeah, so you've got all the marbles on the line there, and you have the problem of if you're not going to get your best results out of your best pitcher. And remember, Minnesota was up 3 runs in the first inning, and the Yankees came back in the third and picked it right up. Severino pitched a good game, and so did, but they kept throwing in good pitchers. The Yankees thought, I think this year, that their strength would be their relief pitching and not so much their frontline pitching. And I'm not satisfied that it's great. It's good. It's very good. But it's not great. And it may not get them over the hump against Boston or whoever else they might have to play, because right now I see the Yankees as a wild card team, as much as I hate to admit it. I think the Red Sox probably have better pitching.
Well, John would love to hear that, of course. He still hasn't shown up, so hopefully he will, and we'll actually ask him a couple things about the Red Sox. One of the questions that I have, and I don't know the answer, and I don't know that you do, so I hate to spring it on you. In the Subway Series, who's won the most games? I mean,
the Yankees have the edge, and I don't remember how much of an edge. I always liked the Subway Series, and I was especially, and here he comes, John Manfreda. Manfreda sighting, and he looks like he's all set to go to Iceland.
So we were just talking, John, about the Subway Series, and then mentioned briefly the Red Sox.
John, let me ask a question. I think the Yankee pitching, while good, is not as good as the Red Sox pitching. Do you have any comment on that?
Having technical difficulties here.
He's breaking our equipment,
John, you show up and you wreck everything. It's the other way around. Turn it the other way around. Whoa, let me do that for you while you talk.
Well, I think on paper you might be right, because you've got, in effect, I think 3 Cy Young Award winners on the Red Sox staff. You have Sale, you have Porcello, and forget who the third one is, but on paper I think you're probably right. But the Yankees are an incredible hitting team, and they tend to make up for, you know, when their starters falter, they just a run production machine, you know.
But, you know, they always say, and they said in the past, good pitching always stops good hitting, particularly
especially
in a playoff.
Players, that's right.
And I've noticed also Yankee pitchers are throwing fewer and fewer fastballs and more breaking stuff.
How do you account for that?
I don't know. I think guys are learning how to hit that 99-mile-an-hour fastball right on the screws, and they're getting the bat out in front of it, and they're driving the ball, whether they're batting from the left side or the right side. But if you've watched some Red Sox games, I haven't, but you're tuned into that.
I tend to do that, yeah.
have you noticed that the Red Sox are throwing more breaking stuff lately?
To be honest with you, with the relievers, it's just heat. It's just fastballs. Joe Kelly, Kimbrel, they just bring heat. The starters, I would agree, I think, and you're probably looking at a general trend, because you're right, the hitters have gotten used to 97, 99. You see those balls getting hit out, because balls thrown that fast, they tend to be straight.
And remember something else. Some people will throw that slider, and it's in the 90s, and yet you have some people who will throw a fastball that seems to have just a little drop on it. And because of the drop, it seems like the ball gets beat into the ground a lot.
Look at Sonny Gray the other night. I happened to be watching a little bit of that game, and I think he's an okay pitcher. He's not an ace, but he induced I don't know how many double plays. You're right. His ball was sinking, and they were beating it right into the ground.
Now, I'm not talking about a C.C. Sabathia, who went from being a power fastball pitcher early in his career to preserving two more seasons on the back end of his career by learning to throw the breaking stuff well.
He became an artsy, craftsy kind of pitcher. So.
Yeah, and, you know, he always – I don't know what it is about the guy, but every time I watch him pitch, it looks like he's wearing pajamas that look like a Yankee uniform. I don't know why, but that always crosses my mind, and it's kind of hard to get it out. It's like, can't they give him a regular uniform? Why did he have to play in pajamas? But what I notice is the Yankee relievers are throwing more breaking stuff too. I mean, Adam Warren, Chapman, who can throw a 101-mile-an-hour fastball when he wants to and make excellent placement with it, is suddenly throwing more breaking stuff also. And I have to wonder if Larry Rothschild, the Yankee pitching coach, has been talking this up. What do you think is going on?
No, I think your observation is valid, and I think it's across the board. I think you do see it on other teams. I mean, the two teams I watch the most are the Yankees and the Red Sox, and a little bit of the Mets. The Mets have or had a bunch of power pitchers, and they all got arm problems now, and that could be part of it too, Bill. You know, you look at the Mets, and you know, a year or two ago, everybody said they're the best stock pitching team in baseball. Deep now, look at them, and you know, you want to be a flamethrower. You're going to risk injury.
Well, there's also been some talk that this Subway Series might be the audition for two Mets pitchers to be picked up by the Yankees, because the Yankees have a very heavily stocked farm system and some great young guys.
I've heard those too, Bill. I gotta believe it would have to be an absolute last resort. The Yankees would have to offer so much more before they would trade DeGrom.
Or Syndergaard,
who could be, you know, 25-game winner on the Yankees, either one of those pitchers. Even if they got four or five players back, you'd be looking at a couple of years of Yankee dominance with one or certainly two starters like that. So when you're competing in the same environment across town, I gotta believe that they would be very reluctant to do that.
I would think so too, because right now the Mets have really hit the skids. They've had a tough season. Why go see them if not for watching some great pitching? And, I mean, you've got guys like Yoenis Cespedes, who we all expected to see a lot of home runs for, and he's not hitting.
It's a continuation of the Mets'
curse.
You know, curse goes all the way back to Mo Vaughn.
Oh, that's
Mo
right.
Mo Vaughn rips it up for the Red Sox, and then the Mets mortgage the farm to get him, and he never did anything. And then you've got, what's his name, Robbie Alomar. Same thing. I mean, they have signed so many. So the one guy that really did come through for them was Gary Carter. Oh. He came through.
Oh, well, and for the Mets, yeah.
And George Foster a little bit. You know, those 80s teams had some veterans who were still good players. But after that, I tend to agree with you. They got very bad with a very snake bit, you know. So anyway, are you guys just focusing
Well, on no. Actually, seriously? I want to hear what you have to say about you're going to be watching basketball tonight?
Well, I guess it could be the last game of the season.
It
tonight.
Certainly could be.
I think it could be.
And in our household,
LeBron James surprises everybody again.
In our household, you know, I'm the only one who's rooting for Golden State, and so at this point, I'm.
Well, I happen to dislike both teams, but I guess I have a slightly more vested interest in Cleveland hanging on, making some people happy, or at least less unhappy. So I suppose I'd probably root for Cleveland tonight. I don't think a sweep is good for anybody. Speaking of which, the series that really shocked me, I was so happy.
Stanley Cup.
When the Las Vegas Golden Knights, who I saw out there in March, took the first game against the Ovechkins, and then they come back and win four straight.
Well, they ran out of gas is what I think.
They ran out of gas.
Yeah, they really must have, because that... You know, they should have been so up after winning that game.
Well, also, in several of those four games, they were ahead.
That's right. And they could not hold the lead.
The goalie could be Fleury ran out of gas.
Well, you know, remember, Marc-Andre Fleury, who I admire, flyer killer that he is, and has been in the past, is an excellent goaltender. Pittsburgh had a tough choice to make. We were talking about this before because they could only protect one goalie.
Right.
And they wanted to stick with Matt Murray, who was younger, cheaper, and an excellent goaltender and carried them.
That's how Vegas walked out.
Yeah. And I think this is a classic example of a hot goalie carrying a good team rather than a great team. And when that goalie cools off a little bit, as Fleury has been known to do in the sometimes
yes,
in the playoffs or in a long season,
yeah. Very,
he's had some injuries.
I'd say he's a very he was a number one overall draft pick by the Penguins, handpicked by Mario Lemieux. I don't think he won those cups, Bill. I think they had tremendous teams in Pittsburgh that won some cups. I know when he first came up, the Devils pounded him for years. He never beat New Jersey, but he's a good goalie. I think he's gotten better as his career has gone along. So I'd give you a very good on that one, Bill, surrounded by an excellent mobile defense that the Knights were able to put up. And also some people have speculated the travel schedule favored them a lot too.
Oh, there's no question about that. Remember, the Knights were built on guys nobody thought were good enough to protect in a top six or
Correct.
Top eight. And the Knights are a good team. I think they captured some lightning in the bottle this year. They had a great season. As I said to Pat before, earlier, this is really good for hockey. It's really good for the NHL that they got off to such a good start.
And I can tell you, Bill, because as you know, I was there and sent you pictures from the arena in Las Vegas. The electricity in the air, the enthusiasm, to your point, just excellent for a league that consistently shoots itself in the foot, made a great move there.
Yeah, and, you know, Gary Bettman is not one of my favorite people by any stretch.
He's not one of the smarter people in professional sports, no.
But, you know, Vegas had a wonderful season. And, you know, when you're in the entertainment capital of the U.S., you can't rely on, say, somebody coming out of Detroit or Minnesota because they want to see their Wings or their Wild. You've got to have a team that once the novelty of the new wears off, people are going to want to show up. And that's what happened
but
in Philadelphia.
You know, Bill, let me say something. I think that, you know, I may be way off, but I think that people going to Las Vegas, even if they don't have a team,
correct.
That's going to be something for them to do on vacation. You know,
exactly
and there are lots
the point.
Of other...
That's what I did in March 22nd, I was there.
Yeah. And they're just, and even if, but you're a big hockey fan, but I think even guys going to Las Vegas, even if they've never been to a hockey game, that's going to be something to do.
Oh,
it's the
sure.
same with football.
Exactly right.
I would love to buy four season tickets when what is it? Not this year,
come.
But next year when the Raiders go.
Boy,
I mean,
that's going to be phenomenal.
I mean,
we could all retire from the practice of law.
I mean, if anybody knows out there that we could get 12 tickets together, season tickets. We've got three buyers here because
there you go.
Because I think, and we all know that the hotels and the bars and everyone are going to buy up those tickets. I mean, if you look at the Packers, of course, you can't get tickets for 30 years, but there are, you know, certain bars and certain other places, businesses in Green Bay that have a number of tickets. And then you also go to the games and you sit next to somebody who's had tickets from 1957. So,
exactly.
But I really think that I don't think they have to have a great team in Las Vegas in order to get a lot of people coming to see them.
No, you're right. They were completely sold out most of the year. They just, as Bill said, one of his favorite expressions, captured lightning in a bottle. Extremely
right.
poetic and picturesque, Bill. And I've heard you use that many times. And I think you're right on this one. And
folks,
I agree with you, Pat. It becomes almost a, well, you've heard of destination weddings,
yeah.
destination sports venue.
Oh, absolutely.
The Raiders.
And speaking of sports, where did we hear that before?
Yeah,
where did we hear that before?
Yeah.
We now have legalized sports
betting
in
yes.
New Jersey. What do you think the impact of that could be, besides baseball's greed and wanting an, quote, honesty fee, unquote?
Oh, God, yeah.
What brass?
Yep.
I'm excited about that. I think that's going to be good for the state. I think it's going to be good for tax revenue. It's going to be great for us bankruptcy lawyers.
Sure.
But, you know.
Hard to judge that impact. You have so many socioeconomic changes. I heard on the way over here that they have, there's been legislation introduced to legalize marijuana. I mean, you have a lot of these things happening right before our eyes with a new generation that sees and does things in a different way, not always the way I would want, but you must give them credit for their the depth and breadth of their imagination and their vision, and hopefully making a better world. And whether that's sports betting, whether that's recreational drugs, I don't know. Hard for me to comment on that.
You know, a lot of the attitudes and things and that we thought made sense when we were younger people, well, the world changes, you know, and it moves on. And attitudes change and things that are important change. What's got to be very painful for a lot of people who've been arrested and prosecuted and done time for possession of marijuana is now they're seeing it legal and they feel like a big chunk of their life has been damaged because of their involvement with drugs. Now, I don't advocate drug use, but I know people who find that using marijuana relieves a lot of very painful symptoms. It helps.
Yeah, but that, wait a minute. That's different. That's not recreational use.
That's not you're right, Pat.
But I can
not.
Tell you, in California, anybody can get a medical card to get marijuana.
You just have to be over 21, I've heard, and have a hangnail or a paper cut.
Exactly.
And they'll prescribe it for you.
So you all, you know me, I'm very liberal on most things. I am concerned about, you know.
I think your concern is justified, Pat.
Yeah.
It needs to be seen.
Yeah, we only have a minute to go, folks, so I wanted to
wrap
this
up. So what is your prediction on the Subway Series?
I'm hoping the Yanks.
Not a sweep. I'm hoping the Mets can at least salvage a game.
I'm hoping the Yanks take two out of three because right now they're looking up at the Red Sox, and I don't like the view.
Well, they're right there. I mean, I think Red Sox have like the Yankees have like five games in hand, but I think they have to win four of them to actually be ahead. So, you know, they're substantially tied.
Remember the Yankees.